Today's part two of a two-part celebration. Yesterday we honored the most sacred heart of Jesus with a festive solemnity. Today we honor the immaculate heart of Mary. It's a joyful celebration. It's a beautiful occasion for us to recall Mary, Mary's role in God's plan of salvation, Mary's response to the outpouring of love that comes from the heart of Jesus. I'd like to reflect a little bit on the symbolism of the heart again. We started this yesterday. And then I'd like to reflect a little bit on what this pondering or treasuring in the heart is all about. First of all, about the symbolism, we know that the heart is not meant to indicate the physical organ only. That would be kind of weird, if not gross, to have somebody's heart pulled out of their body. That's not what this is about. This is about the inner life of the person. This is about the essential core of the person. This is about love, the love in a person. And we commonly use the term heart to describe that inner core of a person, or to describe a person's love. So it's a beautiful symbol, but it has its limits as well. If you look over at those two statues there, you see those two figures, Sacred Heart of Jesus and Sacred Heart of Mary, beautiful statues. But if you didn't know who those people were, you would probably think that was a marriage, because it's two young people, same age, their hearts are burning, and you say, well, they must be in love. I'm just saying, now no one thinks that, I hope, but that's what it would look like if you didn't understand the symbolism. Jesus and Mary weren't the same age. I don't think they were probably even the same height like they are there. But this is a way of indicating this deep unity between Jesus and Mary, between the hearts of Jesus and Mary in the work of salvation. So it's a fitting image, but it's limited because Jesus is God. So there's no image that can really capture the whole mystery of God. And Mary is a creature. So by comparison to God, she's practically nothing. And how do you symbolize that? If God is the ocean, well, Mary's one drop. Like any creature. If God is the sun, Mary is a grain of sand, like any creature. So it's impossible to convey that in imagery. But because God became man, God chose to represent himself perfectly in Jesus Christ. Now we can use images like this, and they do convey the truth about these mysteries. In fact, I say in the statues, they're the same size. For a long time, Jesus was smaller than Mary. Right? Even though he's God, he emptied himself. He reduced himself. He gave himself. In fact, he was so small, you couldn't even see him in the womb of Mary. Father Francis, in this image over here, our image of Our Lady in the Liturgical Life, puts the heart of Jesus in the heart of Mary and surrounds the whole central mystery of Jesus' gift by a Marian image, Our Lady of the Liturgical Life. And one time he showed that image to a theologian who said, no, that's heresy because you can't make Mary bigger than Jesus. Well, of course Mary's not bigger than Jesus theologically. Of course, the center of this whole mystery is Jesus, not Mary. But Mary is the one in whom Jesus came and through whom Jesus came. She's the perfect shrine of the mystery of Jesus. And Mary was literally bigger than Jesus for years. Maybe until he's about 12 years old, like in today's gospel, when he starts to grow up. So the symbolism is fitting, but as I say, we have to understand it properly. Yesterday we honored the heart of Jesus as the symbol of the whole gift of God to us, the whole gift of God, the emptying of himself for our salvation. That's why the gospel yesterday recounted the piercing of Jesus' heart on the cross. His heart poured out everything it had, all the love. Well, if that's what we celebrated yesterday, what do we need Mary for? And some people ask that, what do they need Mary for? If the whole gift is Jesus Christ, if the whole gift is the love of God given to us in Christ, what do we need Mary for? Well, Mary is the recipient, the perfect recipient of this great gift. In this sense, Mary's heart is very big because she can contain everything that God gives, if anyone can. I mean, no one can contain God, but God makes it possible for us to receive his gift if we get sin out of the way. So in this sense, if God is the ocean, well, Mary is the basin that carries the whole ocean. If God is the sun, Mary reflects that sun perfectly. Maybe it's easier to use symbolism that we're familiar with. If we think of the Eucharist, because just last Sunday we celebrated the Feast of Corpus Christi, right? God giving himself to us in the form of bread and wine, God giving his body and blood. Well, if the center of our faith is Jesus in the Eucharist, well, then Mary's the tabernacle. The tabernacle is bigger than the Eucharist, but that's because it's a container. That's what we celebrate today. So if you understand the symbolism, you know that it's beautiful, and that's why this is a beautiful and joyful feast. Okay, so let's turn to part two of this reflection. We're reflecting on the heart of Mary, right? And the scriptures tell us that Mary pondered and treasured the things of God in her heart. Or in today's gospel, it says, his mother kept all these things in her heart. So, yes, she's a tabernacle. Yes, she's a shrine. She's a basin for all grace. But she's a ponderer. She's someone who not only stores things as if she's just an inanimate box, but she's a person who reflects on what she has received. She ponders. And this is what she teaches us, to ponder in the heart, to treasure in the heart. That's why I wanted to explain the symbolism a little bit, because if we don't understand it, well, then we don't know, we can't ponder it. Pondering in the heart, though, is deeper than simply understanding. In fact, there are many things about the way God's plan unfolds that we don't understand. And that's why we treasure them, we hold them, we reflect on them, we ask about them. Mary did this. This gospel is a good example of it. Jesus stayed behind in Jerusalem when he's 12 years old. Joseph and Mary did not understand why that happened. And even when he said, "Did you not know I must be in my father's house?" It says here, they did not understand what he said to them. So if Mary and Joseph didn't understand what Jesus said to them, it shouldn't be any surprise to us that we sometimes don't understand what God is saying to us. What are we supposed to do? Keep it in the heart, treasure it, store it, reflect on it, wait with a listening heart for God to give us more light about what he's saying. And we know that Mary, as she pondered and as she stored up these things, she recognized more and more fully what God was saying. When it comes to pondering in the heart, I'd like to make a connection with this first reading that we heard from St. Paul's second letter to Timothy. Now, this reading was not chosen for the Feast of the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It was just happens to be on Saturday of the ninth week. But it has a message which I think is very good for understanding pondering in the heart. Because pondering in the heart doesn't mean taking in everything, accepting everything, dwelling on everything. No. There are some things which we should not ponder in the heart. There are some things we should reject, right? Lies, sins, temptations, arrogance, judgments. There's lots of things that we should not treasure in the heart. We should kick them out. I mean, Mary had an immaculate heart, so she she was successful in rejecting all these things. But we who are fallen, we have to be very deliberate about what we ponder and what we don't ponder. This is especially important for us living in our times when we are constantly being exposed to lots and lots of ideas and lots of images and lots of input from the social media. Every day I get some email or message recommending that I read or listen to or watch something every single day. And most of them are pretty good. I mean, I don't watch them all, of course. But so-and-so's talk, so-and-so's homily, so-and-so's class on whatever, maybe even on the Immaculate Heart of Mary. Most of them are good, I don't know. But I can't watch them all, and neither can you. This is something that I think we experienced when the pandemic hit. Suddenly, everybody went online, and everybody was putting everything online, and there's all kinds of great content online. But there's a lot more online that's not great content. And I think anybody who's ever used any social media knows there's a lot of just worthlessness. Maybe not necessarily bad, but just idle. Just to stir up our curiosity, just to get us to keep looking longer, or to be exposed to more advertising, or to be on somebody's list of contacts. I don't know. And then there's some things, there's plenty of things, which are not worthless, but are actually evil. Now, I have this in mind because of what St. Paul says here in this first reading. He says, he's talking to Timothy and encouraging him to persevere in his mission as a leader. And he says, the time will come when people will not tolerate sound doctrine, but following their own desires and insatiable curiosity will accumulate teachers and will stop listening to the truth and will be diverted to myths. It's a pretty good description of what's happening right now. People are not tolerating sound doctrine. They're following their own desires and insatiable curiosity. And this is where the social media come in. If you have insatiable curiosity, there's an inexhaustible source of videos and messages and TikTok things. I don't even know what to call them all, but there's you could literally watch or listen to or read things 24 hours a day and not get anywhere near exhausting them. So if you have insatiable curiosity, well, there's a dangerous territory for you. It says here, he says, they will accumulate teachers and will stop listening to the truth. Isn't this what's happening? And people have this tendency to turn to sources that confirm them in their own ideas, what people refer to as in their own bubble, so that they just listen to or read things that they already agree with and never listen to or allow themselves to be challenged by the truth. Now, I'm not saying that everything's not true in the bubble, but the problem is you don't know. And that what's being planted in the heart is human wisdom and not the Word of God. Okay, there will be accumulate teachers, we might say accumulate influencers or accumulate online content, and we'll stop listening to the truth and we'll be diverted to myths. Now, this is something that people are warning us about when it comes to the artificial intelligence, the AI, because it's very hard to tell now what's real and what's false. When you're talking about online things, very hard to tell. Okay, what do we do? What do we ponder in our heart? What is solid gold for us is the Word of God. The Word of God and the truths that the Church teaches us. But what I like to focus on the Word, because this is what we do in Anuem every day, ponder the Word. If you want to gain the benefit of pondering the Word, be very deliberate about not pondering other things, either in the evening or in the morning. If you want to prepare for a Mass, you want to have a prayer time, don't start your prayer time by checking your phone or checking your messages or your emails or TikTok. Don't start your prayer time with being flooded with all kinds of myths or even news. Because what will happen when you try to pray then, or what you when you try to ponder in the heart, you won't be able to sort out very well what is coming from the world, what's coming from your own flesh, and what's coming from God. So make a space by putting aside these social media input, especially, as I say, first thing in the morning or before you pray. Don't start the morning with social media. Start the morning with the Word of God, or with prayer, or with pondering in the heart. Okay, that we could go on about that, but since we're talking about the Immaculate Heart of Mary, we're talking about the one who perfectly responds or perfectly receives and treasures what is pouring out from the divine heart of Jesus. This is a good lesson for us all, because we are children of Mary. We are being formed by Mary. She's making our hearts like hers. Isn't that what we pray? Queen Mother Mary, we come before you begging an outpouring of grace upon the whole world. Open the eyes of our hearts with your faith. It's like saying, make our hearts like your heart, to believe what you believe, to ponder what you ponder, to treasure what you treasure. Open the eyes of our hearts with your faith. So that's our prayer, and this is just a little reflection on how that works. So we honor the Immaculate Heart of Mary, and we ask Mary to make our hearts like her heart.